Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast. Glad to have you with us, joining us for episode 86 of the pod, where we're going to be talking all things Acolyte episode 5 in today's episode. Looking forward to getting into that. Before we begin the discussion today, I want to give you a quick reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout channel on YouTube, definitely check us out over there for the video version of every podcast, as well as our reactions the latest Star Wars movies and episodes and shows when they do go live, including The Acolyte. You can catch all five of our reactions to the first five episodes over there on YouTube. You can contact us at our email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them on the pod. Additionally, the podcast is findable wherever you get your pods, including both Spotify and Apple. And if you're listening on any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We would appreciate it very much, and it does also allow Hoth Hangout to be more easily discoverable by other people who love and enjoy Star Wars as well. You can find us on the socials, whether it be Instagram, TikTok, or X. We're at Hoth Hangout on each of those. Additionally, the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server is available in the show notes of today's podcast as well. Check it out and see all that it has to offer and what it has in store. The teaser question of the day we'll pose moving into our discussion on our minds. What did the Jedi do on Brendok during that flashback episode, episode 3? One of the major questions on all of our minds. But before we get into our discussion on that, I want to check in with Joey and welcome him back. Hope you're feeling well, man. What's going on? How you doing?
Much, much better. Yeah, me and the family got the vid. We got the COVID over the last week, so did not see me for last week's pod episode or this week's reaction video, but I am much better. Thank you to medications, and thank you I was able to get back here. I got a little bit of a cough, so if you see me grab for a cough drop, don't mind me. But yeah, I'm happy to be here. I really wish we watched a reaction together, but I watched your stuff, Ben. Great reaction, great podcast episode last week, and thanks for the carry for the last couple weeks.
Oh yeah, I was thinking to myself, I was trying to think what the last time I watched a new Star Wars thing not with you was. And I was thinking, geez, like it was probably like Mando season 2, maybe? I don't even know. That sounded right, and I wasn't sure, but yeah. So yeah, missed you last week, but again, glad to have you back. And before we begin our news today, I had a surprise announcement for both you and Gibbo.
Oh,
over the weekend, I had the honor of getting engaged as well. So
what? Are you serious?
Yeah, I was gonna tell you guys during the podcast. I thought that'd be more fun.
Oh my god! Congrats, man!
Thanks.
Nice. She said yeah.
She said yeah.
Oh good. Nice.
My family like met us afterwards, and they, you know, that car paint stuff that you can like write words and stuff on.
Yeah.
They very presumptively wrote "she said yes" on her car before they knew she said yes, and I was like, "Oh my goodness!" No, but
well, good thing. Oh my gosh!
I had to come back to this scene so everyone could hear my mic. But congratulations!
Thank you, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Yeah, whoa. it was a good day. And I was gonna tell you guys before we started recording, but I thought I'll do it as part of the podcast. That'll be kind of fun. And
dude, congrats, man!
Thanks. Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it. Yeah, it was a fun, eventful weekend and fun last few days. Not only did I get engaged, but we also got a cool new Star Wars episode as well in the process with episode 5 of The Acolyte. Lots of lightsaber action. Before we get into some of our discussion on that, as we kind of segue from that fun announcement I just shared into our news portion of the podcast, the Rebuild the Galaxy Lego set with minifigures was very recently announced. Joey, as our resident Lego expert, was very excited about this. I think we just learned about this, 15 minutes ago? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Gibbo actually was one that told me. Obviously, I've been sick the past couple of days, so haven't been able to keep up with all the news. But apparently, yeah, the Rebuild the Galaxy Lego Star Wars show that's going to come out, I believe, later this year, if I'm not mistaken. Looks like they're going to be releasing some Legos as well as part of the show here, as part of the release. And they have this really cool dark, I think it's called, yeah, the Dark Falcon. So it's basically the Millennium Falcon, but in all black and red type of Empire-looking colors. So it's really, it is like the what if of Star Wars, if you kind of remember the trailer that we saw together, right?
Yep, yeah.
Some of the minifigures that it comes with, which is hilarious, there's a beach Luke. So you can see the picture here. He's actually playing video games, so I think he'd actually get along with you and me, Ben. So it looks like beach Luke. We've got a Jedi Vader, who is basically Vader, but in all white there. So that's a little bit of a different type of look. We've got also... Darth Jar Jar. In this particular picture, it looks like he is possibly manning some kind of console of some sort. So that's pretty cool. And I mean, so there's also a Darth Dev, who I don't know who that is. You'll see he's on the left, and then there's also a Darth Rey as well. That is part of the minifigure set, and there's also a bounty hunter C-3PO. So they're just all different kinds of versions of the characters that we love, just in the opposite ways. Except Luke. Luke was kind of beach Luke from the beginning. He was on Tatooine, right? So pretty much the same. But this Falcon looks pretty sweet. Looks like it's about 1,500 pieces. I think I saw it was like $180, which isn't terrible. You know, that's about right. And I forget what the date of the release was, but there's definitely I'm going to be excited to pick that up possibly. I have the other Falcon actually from Solo. So if you remember in Solo, it was kind of like white. It was like clean, right? Because that's when Lando had it. So it was like all white and had some like blue accents on it. August 1st is when this, thank you, Gibbo, when this build comes out. So I'm excited to see that. But yeah, I have the white and blue Falcon from like Solo. Have not built that one yet. It's about the same size too, so I may have to build that one, then get this one and build it too, and then promptly get kicked out of the house by my wife because I have no more room for anything. So but yeah, this is an exciting set. Can't wait to see it.
Nice. Yeah, it's pretty cool to see something announced like this based off of something that we don't even haven't even seen yet, because it comes out later this year. September 13th, I think, is the release date of the four-part series. But like you said, the Lego set comes out, what, 6 weeks in advance of the release of the show on Disney Plus. So catch it in your local stores near you and check out those pretty cool Lego builds. Me personally, that Jedi Vader is very interesting. That's a very novel design, and and of course can't leave out Darth Jar Jar. Gotta always show love to my guy Jar Jar. So our other big piece of news from this week that we wanted to touch on before we begin our Acolyte discussion is actually about Andor and the character Orson Krennic, who I'm actually like blanking on the actor's name now that I'm Ben Mendelsohn, that's what his name was. Ben Mendelsohn, the actor playing Orson Krennic, will be in season 2 of Andor, surprising his role. And this is obviously a great addition to the show. He was in kind of parts, I think in Rogue One, I want to say, at the very beginning of Rogue One is where we first saw him, if I'm not mistaken. He, along with a couple other actors, I want to say that I read on an online article a couple days ago, are going to be making their entrance into the second season of Andor. I would assume a lot of those characters are characters that we saw in Rogue One but didn't see in the first season of Andor. So, going to be cool to see him reprising that role. And, of course, Andor does play kind of a special place in the heart of this podcast, because that was more or less what we got our start doing all the way back in Episode 1. Now, here we are 86 episodes later, and we're still talking about Andor. I'm just saying, it's a great show. I am really excited for Season 2 and looking forward to that. Definitely just a different vibe of a show, but something that, you know, I've also really enjoyed. And the anticipation of waiting for the second season is killing me. I really want Andor season 2. So Orson Krennic reprising or being reprised in that role by Ben Mendelsohn, coming later with the release of Andor season 2. Our last piece of news we were going to touch on, and this is something that I didn't know until, you know, just today, but hashtag SWTWT, which stands for Star Wars Twitter, is trending on Twitter to introduce fans to each other. And my understanding, Joey, you might be able to relay this better than I, but my understanding is that this hashtag kind of came about sort of as a way for Star Wars fans to more or less like connect with each other on Twitter because of kind of all the negativity surrounding kind of conversations, especially about the Acolyte in recent weeks. Is that about right?
Yeah, it was like the most wholesome thing that has come out of Twitter that I've ever seen. Just, you know, because obviously with the Acolyte, it's very, as you and I have even talked about, has been kind of divisive. And we're actually going to see a little bit of that, how divisive it could be in a little bit here. So to see this kind of spawn off of Twitter, just, you know, a bunch of fans just really wanting to get to know other fans, you know, and it was just a fully positive type of vibe where they so basically we've got people that just use this hashtag SWTWT and just introduce themselves. So the two people we have here, they're actually a pair that run a podcast. Their name is Forced Toast Podcast. And that was one of the tweets that I saw was from Alice, the one on the right here. She actually is on Twitter, but she hasn't been on Twitter for a while, just because, you know, she just hasn't had had any want to do it, anything. But after, for whatever reason, she felt like she wanted to, just kind of break out and be back on Twitter. So she kind of reintroduced herself back into the Twitterverse, into the Star Wars world of Twitter. And it was, like I said, just a super wholesome thing. And then, you know, people are saying, oh, nice to meet you, you know, come follow me here type of thing. So, yeah, it was a really cool thing. We haven't put our SWTWT out yet, so maybe we need to put something together. So if anybody has any suggestions what we should put, you know, let us know. But, yeah, super wholesome thing. I thought it was really cool to see some positivity from the community, given that the past couple of weeks with the Acolyte, it's been a little bit divisive. It's a little bit toxic and negative here and there. But to see this kind of come on top and be a trending thing in the Star Wars Twitter was really refreshing and nice to see.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Let us know, those listening, what should we do for our SWTWT post on the Hoth Hangout Twitter account? Coming soon, keep an eye out for it. We have more than a couple, quite a few comments to showcase today, mainly because during last week's podcast episode, we didn't showcase any comments, so we will be showcasing them today, of course. We've got a wide mix, a different sort of comments today to share with people. Maybe an example of some of the decisiveness that you were just talking about, Joey, but it seems like people with the Acolyte either feel really strongly in a negative sense about it, or like really strongly in a positive sense, which is odd because I don't feel like if one is strongly negative and 10 is strongly positive, like I'm somewhere like pretty close to the middle of that, I would say. So anyways, all that to say, here's a few of the comments we've received in the last week. They're all over the board. The first one is from D. Karshner on YouTube. This was in response to podcast 84, I believe. So that would have been our breakdown of episode 3 of The Acolyte. But the comment said, "You are idiots. The Acolyte is amazing." And I don't feel like we were too... I mean, maybe I was a little bit harsh on episode 3, and it's definitely my least favorite episode of the show. But then someone else responded to D. Karshner. Maximilian responded, "You are lying, either to us or to both us and yourself." I feel like this segment should also just be called, like, you know, funny comments that the funny comment exchanges that lots of other people have left on our channel in the past week. So this is, again, you've got people who are very against the Acolyte, people who are loving the Acolyte,
and then us.
Then us, yeah.
Right in the middle. We get attacked from both sides.
Yeah, exactly. Our next comment is from our reaction to episode 3. And this one, I believe, is from Kid Caduceus, if I'm not mistaken. Kid Caduceus says, "There's probably going to be another flashback episode of the other certain point of view." Nice little Star Wars reference that Kid Caduceus snuck in there. I like to see that. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think there's going to be another flashback episode, Joey?
You know, given of what we had seen in this episode, there is a little bit of more backstory we need to learn, particularly of Kamir, particularly of what actually happened on Brendok. I mean, there's still lots of things left in the air. I don't know if it's a full episode of a flashback like we did in episode 3, but I mean, I think there has to be at least some type of flashback in the next couple of episodes.
I was watching a video yesterday, I think, and someone pointed out that there is a trailer that contained Kelnaka like attacking with a lightsaber that we haven't seen yet in the show. So okay. Could be. Maybe we'll get another one back on Brendok. But the next comment we had was from JX Chamb. This one also from our reaction to episode 3. JX said, "This show was bad before this episode. Now it's beyond words. Disney really wants to kill Star Wars." And then a response to that comment was from another commenter on YouTube, DC Mastermind, who said, "You can't kill what's already dead." Go ahead. Yeah.
Listen, I don't necessarily agree with any of this, but it just still makes me laugh. Just some of the stuff they're able to come up with.
Yeah. I will say, like, on the note of negative comments, I feel like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I have my things that I would say are shortcomings or dislikes about The Acolyte. I feel like most sure. people do. But I feel like just labeling Star Wars as dead, it takes away a lot of the excitement of being a Star Wars fan. Like, I still want to be hopeful about anything sure. that comes out. You know what I mean? Like, that's part of being a fan of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. The labeling it as dead for me is just like, well, then why care? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So, why go into, like, video comments and say, you know, it just seems like too much work. if this is something that you truly don't care about or you think is dead, to go around and just saying, you know, because I just think of, you know, when we used to be on Twitch, how people would say, like, dead game, you know, like, that's just what, you know, what's the point of just going into to comments and doing that kind of thing. But, you know, to each his own. But yeah, just and kind of back to what you said last week, is that if you can have these comments, you have your opinions and all that, but if you keep it in a respectful manner, you know, we can have discussions about it. We can have these types of talks about it. Maybe that first comment we had calling us idiots maybe wasn't the most respectful. but just to see the, you know, I mean, but you and I aren't the types of people that are going to be confrontational about it. We're just going to be like, oh, well, you call us idiots. Here we go. You know, so but I just think it's an interesting way to go about your online activities.
The next comment was from Rajesh, just a guy. Rajesh also commenting on the reaction to episode 3, saying, "My suggestion to all Star Wars fans, stop watching." Another, you know, kind of in light of the recent episodes of The Acolyte, maybe someone who obviously is not a fan of The Acolyte. And then another response to that comment on YouTube from Carlos Andres. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Carlos says, "Your vision of the world is not universal. You are not the universe." So again, another instance of someone really disliking it. Another person saying, "Hey, I kind of like it," more or less. So
yeah, I got to go with Carlos on that. You know, just because this is your opinion doesn't mean like everyone needs to do what you say that you're going to do. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Let people enjoy what they enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Last section of comments, because I believe we've got a couple on this last section, are from our reaction to episode 5, the one that I guess that was the one that came out yesterday on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. But the first comment we've got is from Josh98. "The biggest mystery," Josh says, "is still what the heck did Sol and the Jedi do? LOL, we still don't know." That is, of course, we heard us tease the viewer question of the week this week. What did the Jedi do on Brendok? That's what I'm wondering as well, Josh. I'm looking forward to learning more. I really want that reveal to be worthwhile. Otherwise, it's like, ooh, I don't know, you know? Mm-hmm. If all this has happened for a kind of meh or half-hearted reason on Brendok, I feel like it'll take away from some of the story a little bit. But I'm hopeful mm-hmm. that there's like a big surprise or underlying reason that really, you know, genuinely surprises us in the end when we find out. But we've got one more comment from the episode 5 reaction from Vincent. Vincent said, and I think this is directed at me, actually. Vincent said, "How much is Disney paying you for a positive review?" And I read this earlier today, and I was like, I feel like my review on episode 5 wasn't like necessarily a positive review. Mm-hmm. I said, and I'll probably reiterate some of these comments in the episode today. But I basically said that I really enjoyed the first 15 minutes of the episode or so. And then like it kind of trailed off after that. And there were parts or elements of it that I wasn't exactly crazy about. So not necessarily like a positive review for me. Like I definitely had a lot of things about the episode that I thought it could have been better. But my response to that was, for as many shortcomings as this show has had, episodes 3 and 4 have had a lot to be criticized. I can honestly say I enjoyed the first 15 to 20 minutes of episode 5. This is kind of one of those goodbye comparison scenarios, but there was still plenty in the last 15 to 20 minutes that I was critical of at the end of my review. And I would stick to that sentiment as well, that the first half of the episode I really liked, the very action-heavy part with the lightsabers. Second half of the episode kind of fell off a little bit for me. Had a few more issues with some of the things, but and then Josh Judd from the last comment was backing me up, said, yeah, you tripping. They've not been cool with all these episodes, and definitely expressed that. But this was one decent for sure. At the very least, exciting. Not great, but exciting. Mm-hmm. And I would kind of hold to that too. This was my favorite episode, actually. So there were parts of this episode where I genuinely was excited, which I'm trying to think of throughout this show so far, definitely the most excited I've been at any point in The Acolyte was in episode 5. So I feel like that's worth saying and worth noting. But anyways, so thank you to all those of you who left the comments. Continue to leave the awesome commentary and feedback, and we'll be able to display those comments and feedback on the next episode of the podcast, and look forward to hearing from all of you in that regard as well. But remember, keep the comments respectful. You can share your opinions, but keep the comments respectful and keep the comments coming. We do have a couple polls to share from last week's episode of the podcast. We asked, will both May and Osha survive the rest of the season? We actually had differing opinions on YouTube and Twitter. Shocking, I know, right? YouTube was in the negative side of that, with 56% of responders saying that no, one of them will, at least one of them will not survive, and 44% saying yes, they will both survive the season. Over on Twitter, it was 67% saying yes, they will both survive, with 33% saying no, they will not. Joey, real quickly before we move into the big breakdown in the discussion, will they both survive the season?
No.
Okay, I'm leaning that way as well, actually.
I don't know which of the two, but I don't think both of them make up.
I would be of the same mind, and
I mean, especially how episode 5 turned out, where barely anyone did, so would not be surprised if one of them didn't make it out.
Yeah, which, speaking of episode 5, I mean, just moving into our kind of overall thoughts on the fifth episode, excuse me. I think, how did you feel about all the loss of Jedi in this episode? Because it felt like it all happened so fast that I was like, oh my gosh, they're just gone.
I think this gave me episode 7 vibe, not episode 5. This was a lot, you know. I would have expected a lot of the Jedi to be towards the end of the season. We'll have to go back and look at, because I think we did some predictions of who we thought was going to make it out of the season. So we'll have to go back and see what our predictions were at the beginning of the season. I'm going to guess we were wrong on quite a few of those, because I'm for sure did not think Jackie, and spoiler alert, we'll be talking about that later. Jackie was my surprise one. I had no idea that she wasn't going to make it out of this one. So to go back to your question with the, it was kind of jarring to see all of that death so quickly in this episode. And we could talk a little bit more about that. What were your thoughts on all that and your overall thoughts?
Yeah, I felt like I maybe wasn't able to create a connection with a lot of the characters the way I wanted to where it felt meaningful when they were killed off. Like Jackie, I felt that way, and Yord, I don't know, like he was designed as the character who you weren't really supposed to like. And so I thought there was going to be some sort of redemptive process with him. And then it was just mm-hmm. like, oh, well, he's gone. So I don't know. I applaud the decision to be willing to do that with characters because I think it's risky. But also when you do it with so many characters at the same time, I think it leaves viewers feeling this sense of, oh, my gosh, like, where do we go from here? We just lost right. so many people. Like, where's the story headed? But overall, like I said, I think this was probably my favorite episode of the show so far. I was very into it the first 15 minutes. I was like, oh, my goodness. I even said to myself, like, this is maybe the best lightsaber fighting we've seen since the prequel trilogy. I feel like that's probably a fair statement. I enjoyed it more than even like any of the Obi-Wan fights, the sequel films, the Ahsoka fights, even the Mando fights. I thought I was more tuned in. And again, it might be that bias of seeing all these, you know, Jedi lightsabers just on the screen. And
yeah, and just like yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I felt pretty good about the episode until I was 15 or 20 minutes in, and then we started getting to some dialogue that I was like, but I am curious to see where the rest of the show goes. I don't think I would necessarily say I'll say this, and then I want to hear your thoughts too. I want to have 8 episodes of this show before I can firmly say how I do or don't feel about it. I think there's a lot to criticize about The Acolyte, but I don't want to like go full force into that and do it unfairly if I haven't seen the full product of what we're going to get with the first season of this show, if there's a second season. So I'm looking forward to the last 3 episodes is basically what I'm trying to say. So how about you? Any overall thoughts?
I mean, my biggest, I mean, I would agree with what you're saying there, but I think it's hard to, we should really look at any work of art in its, you know, when in its completion, right? But it's hard because we have to wait a week between episodes.
Yeah.
So actually somebody had asked me, should I, they hadn't started watching The Acolyte yet. And they asked me like, should I watch it? And I said, just wait and then binge it. And then you'll, you know, so that at least it's all in one sitting. Don't like start now. So.
Right. Yeah. I feel like some of the bad taste that it leaves in people's mouths week to week is simply because they can't have that immediacy of knowing what happens next. Like, I know I felt that a little bit after episode 4, like it was a short episode. It ended with the lightsabers coming out and the you know, Kumir force pushing it. Or force pushing all the Jedi, I should say. And then it was mm-hmm. like, oh, that was it? You know, it was a cliffhanger. I mean, I'm probably going to go back through when the show's over and watch all 8 episodes back to back. I want to watch it as like a big film and see if I feel any differently about it than I do now. So, but kind of going through our overall thoughts, I guess we're going to move into our discussion and breakdown of the episode of itself as we move through the scenes. The episode opens up with Osha waking up to the lightsaber fight sounds, and there is a slain Jedi Master on the ground next to her. I was actually terrified that she was going to wake up and we weren't going to get to see any lightsaber fights.
Oh my God, that would have been way worse.
I was like, if she wakes up and it's like 3 hours after the fight and they don't give us any, you know, fight scenes, I'm gonna be a little upset, but they did the opposite of that. They gave us like only fight scenes for the first like 15 or 20 minutes of the episode.
Quick question. You see on the screen here, do you see like that orange powder on the ground?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Any thoughts on what that could be?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I haven't given it much thought. I think my interpretation of it was just kind of that is the way the dirt of the jungle is. Mm. But I don't know if it was something like extra to the dirt. Like, are you implying that maybe like Kumir like use some sort of dust or something like that?
I'm not sure what to make of it either. It was just an interest. I mean, they make it very clear that it's almost highlighted in this photo or in this scene. I mean, but it's kind of like there, and then you don't really see it ever again in the rest of the episode. So just wondering if you had any thoughts around that.
I don't know. I mean, the shape is cool looking, and I don't think just coincidental. I mean, it's the end of the last episode where he's pushing all those Jedi away. But I don't know. I think my interpretation of it was just that it was kind of the color of the dirt on this planet. But yeah, I mean, that would be another question we could pose to people who watched it as well, if they thought anything peculiar about the color or the shape of the dirt or anything like that. But, you know, we see the Jedi fighting in this next scene. And my immediate thought when I saw this, well, I enjoyed the lightsaber duel for what it's worth. But my immediate thought on this is like, how is this guy taking on so many Jedi at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to lead me into a major underlying theme of this entire podcast episode. But I'm so desperately wanting to know more about Kamir as a character, his origins, his intentions,
mm-hmm.
his reasons. Like, that for me is what is going to really solidify or not solidify his character and his role in this show. But we can talk about that more later. We learn that his helmet is made of some sort of material. It deflects or temporarily disables lightsabers, as well as his arm brace that he uses at multiple points in this fight. In Legends Star Wars, there is a material called Cortosis, which does this very same thing. So I don't believe it's been confirmed by any showrunners or writers that is the material we're seeing here in the show. But a lot of people are just, you know, kind of it there's an image I saw floating around on Star Wars Twitter from, I think it's a Dark Horse comic, that kind of the same material doing almost the exact same thing. So I think fans already, you know, kind of hopping on and colloquially referring to it as the Cortosis helmet. By the way, have you heard the nickname for Kamir when he's wearing the helmet, what he looks
I
like?
I have heard a couple. Which one have you heard?
I was referring to Smilo Ren.
Smilo Ren, yes. That's a good one.
I was like, yeah, it checks out, I guess. Which should kind of bring up a point. Do all bad guys in recent Star Wars need to be wearing masks?
That's what he says later on.
Yeah, he does say that later in the episode. Which also led me to think, and we can save this conversation for later, but I was like, well, obviously you didn't want to reveal your face to the Jedi, but why did you want to reveal, like, yourself? You know what I mean? What the intentions are there. But, man, can he fight? Let me tell you. And this dude does not skip arm day at the gym. he took those sleeves off that cape, and I was like, holy cow, that dude is jacked. And he's taken on multiple Jedi at a time. At one point, he like skewers two of them at the same time. What producer Gibbo has cleverly referred to as the Sith kebab. I don't know if I've seen a still of that image yet. That's very haunting. did you have a favorite part of this opening lightsaber sequence, Joey?
They always come up with one of these moves where you're just like, oh,
yeah.
And this was absolutely that one. I mean, we've seen lightsaber battles, we've seen how quickly they can go, we've seen when one person is taking on three or four different opponents. So to come up with something different every time, kudos to them. Good job on that. So just seeing the and it this is much better than, let's say, when Palpatine was first revealed himself. He just kind of goes after like three Jedi like real fast, and he like slices through them. At least these Jedi like put up a decent fight, you know. And to end it off with the Sith kebab, as our producer Gibbo has come up with, I think it was great. It was it's not great to see this, but I mean, it set the tone very early of mm-hmm. what we were going to see the rest of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, that was what I honestly liked about it, is that it's putting Kamir in a place where you're like, wow. I mean, he's taking on multiple Jedi at a time. This is clearly someone who, you know, knows what he's doing, has had lots of training. There's got to be a bigger story there, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. But I'm definitely a talented lightsaber duelist in that regard as well. And so we kind of skip over to Osha in the next scene, who is running from Kamir. I guess at this point, we still don't know it's Kamir. So running from the stranger, or I guess Sith, as we later find out. Don't worry, we'll talk more about that later as well. As May picks up Kelnaka's lightsaber. And I was going to ask you about this, and I think it's the next scene with Jeki, where she's getting ready to handcuff her. But let me get to that in a second, because there's a scene between these two things where Sol is ordering Yord to take Osha back to the ship. He's saying, what is he saying? Civilian to the ship or something like that?
Yeah, civilian to the ship, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of funny. Like, in this moment of, like, real danger, he's, like, shouting out, you know, military orders, like, civilian to the ship. Which, by the way, how did you feel about the portrayal of the Jedi as this military, like, police force, almost? I thought it was... I don't know. It didn't really jive with me personally, like with the way I mm-hmm. see Jedi in the original trilogy, especially. Mm-hmm. Like Jeki in the next scene is, you know, trying to arrest Mei, and she, like, when at the end of the scene, she's like reading her list of
Miranda rights.
yeah, she's reading her Miranda rights and like her list of misdeeds. I was like, okay, Jeki, like, we get it. She's done some bad stuff. You don't have to, like, reiterate to her what she's done. You know? Right. I just thought that was kind of funny. But, Sol orders Yord to take Osha back to the ship. And there's Basil in this scene a couple times, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they use Basil to track them back to the ship.
Yeah. And then the next scene, of course, is a 1v1 showdown between Sol versus the Stranger, who is still being referred to as the Stranger in the subtitles at this point in the show. Did you feel like in any way that Jeki put up a cooler fight against the Stranger than Sol?
I mean, yeah, because, you know, dual wielding.
Yeah.
Amazing. But I mean, that you need to set the stage, you know, because I think at the end of all of this, it will be the Sol and Strain or Kimir, you know, kind of dynamic, the build up. Will that be the last fight? You know, I think that's where we're coming, you know, that's where we're headed to. This is just the first fight. Well, is this the second fight? No, this is the first fight between the two of them, right? Yeah, so mm-hmm. We will definitely see these two battle again. So you kind of had to not quite give it their all right away. Because their last fight has to be the epic one, right?
Yeah. And meanwhile, while this fight is going on, Jeki is taking on Mei, who Mei, I mean, we're gonna talk about our pros and cons of the episode at the end of the podcast today, but Mei is now like trying to kill Jeki. So we went from Mei like loving her sister as kids, so trying to kill her by starting a fire, to going on this path of vengeance for, what is it, 18 years or something like that. Finally getting to the point for working on it for 18 years, effectively killing three Jedi Masters, kind of two if you don't include Kelnaka. And then she goes on this walk with Kimir. She's like, okay, I'm done. I'm turning myself into the Jedi. Then this episode, she's like, actually, no, I'm going to try to kill Jeki. Like, I just can't, I can't read on what Mei is trying to do half the time, or, you know, who she's trying to kill and who she's trying to protect or avoid. I you know, so right. She flips back to attacking the Jedi, going after Jeki. And then they have a pretty cool fight, most of which is just hand-to-hand combat, with the exception of the throwing knives that I think Mei tries to use at one point. But Jeki finally bests Mei, and while she's like reading her Miranda rights, handcuffs her. the Sith Stranger, who we know to find out the identity of in the next scene, attacks Jeki while Mei escapes. And so the Stranger versus Jeki lightsaber duel was mm-hmm. probably my favorite lightsaber duel of the episode, favorite lightsaber scene of the episode. By the way, if you're watching the video version of the podcast, this scene we have right on the screen right now, I was thinking as I was watching the reaction, like the way he just zooms out of the forest at her from the darkness, I was like, oh man, that's terrifying. Can you imagine something like that?
they really throw in a lot of like horror type of
yeah
scenes or scenery, or, you know, visions there. Because later on, as May's running through the forest there, there's like little quick like face shots of the stranger. And even when he's got the helmet on, he does this kind of like lean thing with his head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, you know, like, you know, he's trying to figure you out and stuff like that. Just like little things like that. I do appreciate those little elements of horror that they put into this particular character.
So I watched the episode a second time with my fiance. Oh. And
you can say that now. Nice.
I can say that now. Yeah. And as we were watching that scene, she hates horror movies, by the way. And as we were watching that scene, she's like, oh, why are they turning it into a horror movie? You know, she did not like that, not appreciate it. But so, yeah, in the next scene, Yord and Osha go back to save everyone. And I don't know, in this scene, too, I felt this was the first time in the episode where I was like, that feels off. Like, Yord has been the guy the entire time who's like, rules, rules, rules. I am the by the book guy. And, you know, Osha is like, we got to go back. He's like, no, Jackie's a Jedi. She can handle herself. And, you know, Osha is like, she needs us. And Yord goes,
all right.
Okay. We'll go back.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's just like Osha wearing on Yord over the course of this show. Mm-hmm. Or just like a convenient plot way him to where he needed to be for him to like meet his demise. But I was like, certainly. That didn't, you know, I was like, okay, you were very easily convinced to do that after being given an order by Sol to take her back to the ship. But anyways, the flying creatures in this scene, flying creatures, these Umbra moths, I believe is what they're called. One of my issues with the episode is I was like, you know, these moths are able to fly away Quimir at one point. I was like, he just took on like what, 8 Jedi at the same time, and these moths are besting him. I don't know. Anyways,
yeah, and I think I've used this analogy before. If this was animated series, this would probably be okay.
Right. Yeah.
But in live action, it didn't stick as well. Didn't stick the landing.
Yeah. There were a lot of jump cuts in this episode, for what it's worth, too. I felt like we were sort of going back and forth from lightsaber duel to other scene, to lightsaber duel to other scene. Did it feel at all jarring to you at any point? Because in the next scene, it jumps right back into the stranger and Sol fighting once again.
No, I mean, you kind of felt the rhythm after a while. It wasn't, you know. But I think that the one thing that I didn't really need to see was how Osha kept talking to Yord about, we got to go back. No. And then cut back. And then go back to them. We got to go back. No. And then go back. You know, like, I didn't think that was necessary. But other than that, it was, like I said, the rhythm was there. So it wasn't so bad for me.
I think the reason I bring that up is because of the way they did it. And I didn't really notice this at any other episode until this episode. You know how, like, classic Star Wars, you have the scene transitions where it's like a wipe or like a circle. Mm-hmm. I felt like they were doing that a lot this episode.
Yeah, you are right. Yeah.
And I don't know. There's something about like a wipe or just like a classic Star Wars transition that in my mind, I'm almost thinking of like a different scene or a different planet or a different scenario. And it was all something that was like happening right, like in the same vicinity of each other. Right. And I was like, why are we? I don't know. Maybe that's very nitpicky of me to say that, but I noticed it as I was watching it the second time this morning. So the stranger disables Sol's lightsaber using the cortosis technology of his helmet, and then begins to fight Jeki, which when Jeki started going after him, I was like, oh, okay, dual wielding the lightsabers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he has a secret hidden lightsaber. I'm going to put that scene right there up for nomination for one of the cooler deaths in Star Wars, maybe ever. Do you think there's any significance to the symbolism of the placement of where he ignites the lightsaber through her 3 times?
I mean, she could make it out of those 3, right?
Is Jeki still alive? Theories begin here.
I mean, any vital organs? You know, let me bring my my biology book here. Let's see exactly where the organs are. I don't know. The triangle. There's always, you know, there's always thoughts on what the triangle means. So there could be a little bit of symbolism there. I'm not sure what that would be in the Star Wars universe, but I'm sure someone smarter than me could answer that question.
Yeah, I just thought that was like really. I don't know if it was meant to be cinematic, like very equilateral triangle is where he's stabbing her each time, or if there's a deeper meaning to that. But hey, if he would have only stabbed her once, she could have made it. One stab, you're good. Three stabs, nope, you're out. But for what it's worth, Jeki was probably one of the characters in the show that I was connecting with the most. I really enjoyed her role within the group of Jedi. So to lose her in the show kind of feels like a little bit of a punch to the gut, because I thought it was one of the stronger acting performances that the show had going for it. But, you know, she put up a good fight. Amir.
I will say this part right here, because she cracked the helmet. Mm-hmm. She kind of attacks him. She dies in this way. And then there's the reveal of Kamir being the stranger. I thought that was actually done pretty well.
I liked it a lot, yeah.
I mean, although I think you and I have thought this entire time, it's probably Kamir this entire time. And,
yeah,
you know, so part of the fun was taken out there because it was kind of an obvious one. So, like, when it happened, you're like, yep, seems about right. It wasn't, like, a huge reveal where you're just like, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe it's Kamir, you know?
Right.
But even still, to see this flip, and I'll give this to the actor Manny Jacinto, to see this kind of flip in his character where he was this kind of not a bounty hunter, but he was kind of like a smuggler, you know, trying to help out with May with a bunch of things, kind of just kind of that goofy, like kind of smooth talker type of person, into this straight up quote unquote Sith. We don't know exactly if he is or not, you know. Into this evil villain role. I thought he did really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his acting performance was maybe my favorite part of the fifth episode. His performance is such in that he maintains the sarcasm of the way he acts in the first four episodes, but also obviously with like a little bit more of that evil tone. I don't know. It just feels like there almost is someone above him with the way he acts. Like, his goal, I mean, maybe we can even talk about it in the next thing we're talking about here in our notes, but he says, you attack me when my back is turned, not very Jedi of you, so he's a little bit antagonistic. I have no name, but the Jedi, like you, might call me Sith. Now, I think people are going to feel so many different ways about this, particularly negatively. And I think I referenced this last week, but if you're not familiar with what some of the quote unquote Sith controversy is about this show, there's a scene in The Phantom Menace. Ki-Adi Mundi, one of the Jedi Council members, says the Sith have been extinct for a millennium. He's also in this show now in the previous episode. So he has knowledge that there is some, you know, dark force user out there somewhere. Now this dark force user has identified himself more or less as a Sith, and it's just like, how do we get from here to the end of the show in a way that still makes sense for what the Jedi thought during the prequel era? Do you have any inclinations? Is it going to be something they completely retcon? Are we going to get to a point where it's like, oh, he's not actually a Sith. He's just kind of saying he wanted to be a Sith.
I think he is. Part of me is thinking that he is doing this to antagonize Sol. Because the way he says it, he says, I have no name, but the Jedi like you might call me Sith. You know, so he's not calling himself a Sith, you know, by the definition of what the Jedi says. And he even says later on, Sol asks him, what do you want? And he says, the freedom to wield my power the way I like, without having to answer to Jedi like you. I don't make the rules, the Jedi do. So it's all like, this is what you guys are saying. You know, this is how you are defining me, how you are saying that I can't wield my power, how you are making these rules about what I do, you know? So the way I viewed this whole dialogue between, well, this whole piece, you know, this whole time the Khmer is talking is basically him saying, like, you know, this is, I don't have a name. This is just who I am. But if you, this is what you would call me, though. This is what, you know, if I'm not on your side, I have to be a Sith, you know? Now, he does go on and doing, like, I need a pupil and all that later on. But I think as a name, I think that I don't think he actually thinks himself as a Sith.
Okay. Yeah, I'm curious about the second thing you said, too. Just that and this is kind of something I was going to talk about later, but I don't really understand his motivations behind his beef. Yeah, like is it just that he like wants the freedom to wield his power? And if that was the case, why confront the Jedi about it? Like, it feels like he's been wronged in some way at some point in the past. Or maybe like there's a deeper history with Sol that we don't know about between he and Sol. I don't know. I don't want a character whose main motivation for being evil is just because they want power. I feel like antagonists who are just power hungry tend to be relatively not shallow in the sense of how it sounds, but shallow characters in the sense of, like, I want there to be like a friction or a pain associated with why they're doing what they're doing, and not just like, well, I want to be more powerful. It's like, well, we've seen that trope before. I kind of want something a little more than that, if that makes sense. So I think that could honestly still be the case, and I'm excited to see kind of what the direction they take with Khmer's character in the last three episodes is. But in the next scene, Yord force grabs the helmet and attacks Khmer. And man, talk about brutal deaths. Like, this was one with Jekki's, it was a lightsaber, and so it was like, oh, whoa, like, that was crazy. We haven't seen anything like that since like Qui-Gon in Phantom Menace. With Yord, it happened so fast, like him, you know, snapping his neck. I was just like, Yord is dead? You know what I mean? Like, it just happened, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, Yord and Jekki are gone. It felt very, very abrupt. And then just right after this is when we see Osha stun Mei. She hit the shot this time. She doesn't have stormtrooper aim confirmed. So Sol, excuse me. Sol and Khmer have that hand-to-hand combat in the next part. Sol is getting more and more angry. He's clearly very frustrated. Almost like, you know, giving into the dark side, it seemed like. Mm-hmm. Like, he was very clearly mad. Something we don't see from a Jedi too often. Showing rage in the way he was fighting. And actually, bests Khmer in this fight has him, you know, for lack of a better term, dead to rights with the lightsaber, like, up to his neck. And Osha... Okay, this is the part of the episode where it, like, really started to not make sense for me. He's got him, you know, he's the lightsaber. He's bested him. He's got the lightsaber at his neck. Osha yells, stop! And, like, doesn't want him to do it. Osha, for, you know, is not, like, a morally, technically, like, the moral good character in this show. So it's someone from a perspective, like, in the middle, like, somewhere between being raised on with these witches and being adopted by these Jedi, and now she's like somewhere in the middle of that. So she's like the moral neutral stance, more or less, telling him, stop, you know, don't do it. And then 5 seconds later, she tries to get him abducted by like these killer moths. I was like, wait, so you do want him dead? Why would you, you know, it didn't really like, I don't know. Was there a disconnect there for you as well? Or am I harping too much on that point?
You know, I didn't even, because I was going to say, you know, because she was his Padawan at one point, right? So she knows the good in, you know, the intention that Sol has, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's not his role to do that. So what I was going to say was, yeah, she probably was speaking on that side, you know, where she knows that he doesn't want to actually do this. That this isn't the way that, you know, he wants to end this. But yes, you do make a good point, because right after that, she gets the big scary moths to basically come and pick, you know, kind of DoorDash him away, if you will, you know. And it was kind of a weird thing, but I mean, before that, you know, when he's got the lightsaber up to his neck there, you know, Kamir says, "I've accepted my darkness. What have you done with yours?" I'm saying later on, the writing might not have been that great, but some of these lines that Kamir is giving, I mean, it gives me the shivers a little bit. I'm like, okay, you know, that's because what does that mean? Because now, like, you know, what does it mean? Like, what darkness are you talking about? Obviously, he knows. Obviously, Kamir knows something, you know, or he senses something. He feels something with Sol. And we have still yet to figure out exactly what, you know, the darkness that Sol, probably Kalnaka, as well as Torben and Indara probably all had, possibly on Brendok. So just to see that and have that portrayed again by, you know, Kamir and kind of, you know, kind of poking the bear a little bit. It just, yeah, that's what's intriguing me to continue to watching this show.
Yeah, I the line you said, "I've accepted my darkness, what have you done with yours," to Sol, it indicates to me that, like, he more or less knows about what happened on Brendok. Now, is that because he is, like, incredibly Force-sensitive and can sense this pain within Sol? Or is that because he is somehow connected to, like, a Mother Coral or a Mother Edisea or someone else who's pulling the strings above him behind the scenes? It just feels like Kamir is the key to this show at this point. The more we know about him, I think the more satisfying of an ending it will be, at least for me. But yeah, like we said, the Umbra Moths attack as a result of Osha attaching Pip in the form of a light to his back. And they just, like, you know, like you said, they DoorDash him away. And I, like, this was one of the moments. Yeah, 5 stars. This was the moment in the episode where I was like, what? Like, this dude just took on how many Jedi Masters and Padawans at the same time, bested all of them, and he can't take on, like, a couple of moths? I don't know. It just felt... I understand why they had the scene in the last episode now, but it felt like such a weird, gimmicky way of, you know, getting rid
of him for a while.
Yeah, I was like, that would not happen. So Osha asks Sol right after that what Kamir meant, of course, in reference to the "what have you done with your darkness" line. And then just at this moment, this really took me by surprise. May stunned him after being stunned by Osha just earlier. Also, going back to something earlier in the episode, when Osha tried to stun Kamir before he revealed himself, and it just, like, hit him and did nothing. Do you think that was because of the helmet or something else?
Yeah, I think that was a Cortosis thing again.
Okay.
Yeah, because if it could disable lightsabers, I'm assuming it could do something similar to the stun guns.
Right. Because I saw Sol go down instantly, and I was like, either that helmet is really preventing a lot, or somehow Kamir can, like, not be overtaken by the stun. And
well, have you seen those arms? I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, just go to arm day enough at the gym and you can withstand it.
I would be shocked if there's not a Kamir arms Twitter account right now.
I mean, a side note, have you seen how much, like, an odd amount? It's kind of the same thing that happened with Kylo Ren in the sequel trilogy. Like, there's this, like, collective community of like stands of
I'm not surprised at all of
Kamir being like, oh, they got like a good looking Sith to play the role, and people are like, oh, you know.
Well,
what I
it
mean?
Is the hair, you know, you got the nice hair that kind of, like, flops in front of his face, and
I
the good old days when I had that. Never mind. That's fine.
I'm not too far behind you. I won't have mine much longer either, but. Osha and May then have a conversation, which for me was also a weird point in the episode. May wants her to join her, but Osha does not. And I cannot figure definitely May, but really either of these characters out. Like, and obviously they're both played by Amanda Stenberg, and I want to understand. I've never felt connected, and I would have to like go back and watch the whole show back to back when it's done to kind of get a good description of why exactly that is. But I don't feel like they have a connection to each other. I don't feel like I have a connection to either of those characters. They're both relatively wishy-washy, including May. And so May then force pushes Osha and, you know, effectively makes her unconscious as she's laying on the ground, proceeds to cut her hair with a lightsaber. And instantly I was like, oh, she's going to pose as Osha. So they swap clothes, assumingly, in the next scene that is done between this scene and the next scene. And then, well, we'll get to that in a second, because there's a scene in between with Kamir as he emerges from above. I guess he's escaped the killer moths, and Basil is taking taking what is left of Pip back to the ship. So Pip did make it out. So congratulations to all the fans of Pip. He seems still alive and kicking. So then we go to Sol. He wakes up. May is now like pretending to be Osha, dressed as Osha, telling him to go back to the ship. And my immediate thought here is, how in the world is Sol not sensing that the person in front of him is not Osha, but it's May? You know, like, this is someone who is his Padawan for a long time. This is someone who's a Jedi Master. Like, how is this something that he's not thinking about? Or sensing, or maybe he's leading her on in some way, and he's actually just playing the long game. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Yeah, Gibbo makes a good point. Maybe he knows and he's trapping her. I would hope that'd be the case. But at one point in this scene, I think he also turns his back to her. And
you wouldn't do that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it just felt off. And also, if I can add, like, May has a giant ascension tattoo on her forehead. So it's not like she's going to be able to, unless she's like walking around like intentionally, mm-hmm. you know, covering it with her hair all the time.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyways, I just thought Sol, he has to be like leading her into a trap or something. Like, there's no way he doesn't know.
Right. One thing I did like about this, and I know it's a very small thing, but Osha and May have a very different gait, a different step. And they made sure that you kind of knew that this was May as Osha. So that little detail, although this kind of part of the show was a little bit wishy-washy, that part, for some reason, I'm like, okay, I'm glad they made that clear, because if you weren't paying attention for like a couple of seconds when May cuts her hair, you're going to be completely lost. Like, you're going to be like, how did Osha make it out of there? I have no idea what happened, you know?
Yeah.
So I do appreciate that little detail, where she has kind of this gait where it's kind of like one in front of the other with her steps, as opposed to Osha's, which is kind of more of a side-by-side thing. So, but I think that's a great point that, you know, you guys bring up, that, you know, maybe it's a trap. We don't know who does know that that's not Osha is Basil, because on the ship there, You could see Basil's a little bit confused. Was like, wait a minute, this doesn't seem like. And you know, he was the one earlier in the last episode who actually pointed out that that was May. So I'm sure that he knows it's a trap. That's right.
Yeah, like Basil somehow is able to notice it, but Sol is not. I don't know. Yeah. That feels odd to me. But
they're not completely lost on the ship, though. Basil's gonna come through.
Yeah. He's got Sol's back. Kamir, in the last scene of the episode, picks up the broken helmet and cape, and then finds Osha unconscious. He has this line. He says, "What extraordinary beings we are! Even in the revelation of our triumph, you see the depth of our despair." What do you think is behind this line? It felt like deep and also like it didn't mean a lot at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like it was just kind of like a catchy thing to say. I don't know if you got that vibe or not.
Right. I always like when villains talk to themselves. Because yeah. Who would do this in real life? You know, just kind of walk up to somebody, you know, that is an unconscious OSHA at this point and say this type of stuff. I don't know exactly what. I need to read this again. What extraordinary beings we are, in even in revelation of our triumph, you see the depth of our despair. I don't know. It just seems like lots of words thrown together that were, like you said, that are meant to like have this really deep meaning. But maybe I'm just shallow and can't get that deep with it. But I just I cannot figure out exactly what, you know, the point they had to try to get across. But one thing that was interesting, and I saw this on Twitter also, was the kind of the theme at this point kind of gave Kylo Ren theme vibes. Mm-hmm. So somebody had like, you know, spliced these two scenes together, this and like this particular scene. And then a scene, I think it was in, it might have been in Last Jedi, where it's they're playing Kylo Ren's theme. So it's very similar. Now, if you kind of mentioned Kylo Ren earlier, we mentioned the Smilo Ren nickname that it was given to this particular dark side user. I wonder if there is any type of connection later, you know, throughout time, with like the Knights of Ren or things like that. So maybe not even directly with the Knights of Ren, but more of a, you know, not quite a Sith, but kind of like Sith adjacent, like we've seen in the past. And, you know, who knows what this could end up being, because he kind of has those same vibes as well with the kind of the real thin frame, you know, because, you know, you think of like Kylo Ren, that's kind of what you think, the thin frame, the helmet, as opposed to a Darth Vader, very bulky, very, you know, very huge, more of a samurai type of look. So I'll be interested in seeing, and we've mentioned this earlier, just the motivation, the reasoning, the beef he has with the Jedi. And hopefully we'll, maybe that's what we're actually, you know, this is the beginning of all of that. And we have three episodes left. That's the most shocking part to me, that there are three episodes left. What more can we like really see? We've seen like practically all the Jedi are gone. The only one I'm interested in now is in Vanessa Rowe. Where's she at? What's going to happen with her? I mean, is she going to be jumping in onto this now? And because obviously she wasn't part of this whole mission, but obviously they're all going to go back. Sol's going to go back with OSHA/Mei, and you know what's going to happen there. And obviously with all the other Jedi gone, you know. So there's a lot of story left here. I was a little bit shocked at the end of this because of all of the death that we witnessed and in the way that we witnessed it. But I was actually okay with this episode. I was with you, you know, and we can kind of go into our concluding thoughts after this. But, you know, I was kind of with you with the first 20 minutes action pack. You know, we were just having, this was Star Wars. We saw lightsaber battles. We saw lots of deaths. We saw, you know, those types of things, a reveal of who the villain is. But then it kind of plateaued, maybe even went you know, away from all that excitement. But for the most part, I actually did enjoy this episode.
Which leads us into our concluding thoughts for the episode, mainly our likes and dislikes. I think we've already talked a little bit about each of our things that we liked and each of our things that we disliked. What if we started with our dislikes and ended with our likes on a positive note? How would that sound?
Oh, I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know yours was mine was kind of related to yours. So do you want to go first for the dislikes?
Yeah. I mean, the OSHA Mei dialogue, unfortunately, was kind of, I didn't really connect with it. And especially the way it was shot, it was so, I mean, obviously they're twins and obviously it's the same actor, but it was very, you know, it was like you very much knew that these weren't actual twins. There was one person playing two parts. So that really took me out of it. But it was very much the same, oh, you should come with me. No, I shouldn't. And this is why. Oh, why this is, you know, don't forget where you came from. And, you know, it wasn't very deep, you know. And then to end it with Mei force pushing her, knock her unconscious, and then kind of like leaving her. You know, it just, it once again, like I thought, you know, I thought you wanted to be with your sister. This is how you're going to be with your sister. It just seems like a, seems like theirs. Oh, but Gibbo just said there was a cool rotating shot though, to show the same actress in one shot. Okay, I guess I missed that one, but I guess the back and forth, how they were cutting back and forth, I guess that's what I was referring to. But I guess I did forget about that shot, Gibbo. Yes, that is true. But yeah, for everything else that in the episode, I think that was the one part that I didn't particularly enjoy.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to note, actually, when we were talking before the podcast, like, that was the thing I probably enjoyed the least about this episode. I just, I'm not connected, feeling connected to either of those characters. It doesn't feel like they're connected to each other, really. There was a couple lines in particular, I wish I could remember them off the top of my head. It felt like I listened and immediately I was like, that felt so corny. Like, it, you know, I just didn't really come off in a way that I was like, that felt silly when it was said almost. So yeah, my dislike was definitely the Osha May dialogue as well. And then I said, if I had to pick another thing that I also disliked, I and this one is almost like an unfair criticism at this point, because we haven't seen the last three episodes, but the monologue that Kamir gives about like his reasons for wanting to like kill the Jedi, or, you know, he's like, I just want power. I don't want anyone to be able to like tell me that I can't. And I was like, that feels so like every other villain trope in the history of ever. Like, you're just evil and you just want power and you don't want people to tell you can't. Like, that's not like an exciting villain origin story for me. Like, I want there to be a reason that you're doing this other than just, I just want to. I want the power. I want it to be like, well, like, I was a kid on Brendok when the Jedi came and my parents were killed, and then I discovered Darth Plagueis and now he's been training me this whole time. You know, I want there to be something like that happens and feel some
right
like emotional investment into the backstory of Kamir. Because as it stands, I'm just kind of like, you know, I want there to be bigger reasons, and also like I would feel like it'd be, I would prefer that they explain his reasoning for referring to himself as a Sith. And I hope they don't just like play that off and don't touch it again. Cause then it just, you know, in context of the prequel trilogy, it's like, what's that? I don't feel like that makes much sense. But so that's what I would say for mine. For my likes, this was kind of like a lame way of putting it, but I basically just said lightsabers. And then I talked about this earlier in the podcast, but said that the first 15 minutes of this episode was one of the most exciting things I've seen from Disney Star Wars in a while. I really felt into it. I was really enjoying the fight scenes. The lightsaber choreography was particularly good. Again, probably the best lightsaber choreography in any film or TV show that we've seen in like almost 20 years. It'd be crazy to say, but I mean, that's what I would say. Again, probably since Revenge of the Sith, this is my favorite on-screen lightsaber duel. I really enjoyed it that much. And the first 15 minutes of this episode were probably the best part of the Acolyte so far for me. So that was my likes. How about you?
So best lightsaber duel in a while, huh? Remember, you can leave comments on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
No, I did enjoy that as well. But, you know, to be a little different, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, I rather enjoyed Kamir very much in this episode, in how he really flipped the script here on who he was. You kind of, like I said, he was the smuggler in the past, and you kind of knew who he was. But now he has this evil side to him, but you kind of mentioned even better, he kind of still has that sarcasm within him too, you know, so it wasn't like a completely different person. It's just, this is truly who he is, you know, and it's a little different, you know, this is a little bit of a different, kind of bad guy that we're not used to seeing. But he's got that, you know, that quiet demeanor, you know, like he's not like screaming, you know, like how Kylo Ren would like just get rage, you know, just like get so mad and just like yell at people. But this is just like that calm, almost a little horror like, you know, like I said, you know, kind of have that horror feeling that, you know, Jason or, you know, those types of feels where you're just like, this guy's just like, just evil, you know, just for whatever reason. Now, to your point, yeah, we need to find a little bit more of why. Why is he like this way? But for this episode, I mean, you know, it was definitely my favorite part of it. I mean, obviously the lightsaber part was great. I didn't want to obviously take that one because I knew you would take it. But but with Kamir, I mean, obviously I really enjoy this actor too. So I was very excited to see him be this now. I was even more excited. I was like, oh, even better. He's actually this guy. Now we did say, yeah, it was kind of an obvious thing, but the way that they pulled it off, I thought was really good. You know, when he kills Jackie and she falls and he's kind of just sitting there with the lightsabers there, like we have in the picture right here. It was just a really cool way to introduce him as the villain of the show. So, yeah, definitely Kamir, Manny Jacinto, shout out to you, man. I'm, we're feeling the Filipino love over here as the bad guys for once.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said with what something specifically you mentioned, that a character, a bad guy who is a calm, cool, collected bad guy feels more likable to audience members as that role. Like, I think that's why Kylo Ren didn't connect with a lot of people, because it just felt like he was just kind of like this like mad fanboy of Darth Vader.
Bratty kid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And with Kamir, it's like there's some sarcasm, like even a little bit of, you know, humor in there, but very clearly like dark and evil at the same time. And, you know, so he's a character that I thought really, in many ways, did a lot of the heavy lifting of this episode. So I would be right with you there. And him, the acting performance by Manny being probably the best in this episode, I would say. I really enjoyed seeing him as a Darth nobody. I don't know if we're calling him Darth something or not yet, but we'll see if we get more info on that in the future episodes of the show. As we move into our grading of the episodes, I wrestled with this as well, because I think in retrospect, I probably graded the first two episodes too highly, because I feel like I was just like really excited about the show. First two episodes happened and I was like, oh man, like I'm excited for this new show. And then we saw episode three and I was like, ooh, maybe I went too high out of the gate with episodes one and two. So I just want to like preface my grade by saying that I feel like each show's scale for me personally feels like its own scale. Like a 9 in Andor is not the equivalent of a 9 in The Acolyte, which is not equivalent to a 9 in Ahsoka, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe a bit of the grading is relative. And I feel like I went lower with my grading the past 2 weeks. And for those that have never listened to the podcast before, we tend to not give, unless it's just like really bad, we tend to not give anything that's lower than like a 5 out of 10. Because at the end of the day, everything is still Star Wars and we're always going to like take more Star Wars. So having prefaced all of that, because I did think this was my favorite episode of the series so far, and the episode that I definitely enjoyed the most, particularly the first 15 minutes, I'm going to go 8 out of 10. Because I feel like that is indicative of the fact that it has been my favorite episode of the show on the Acolyte scale of 1 to 10. But it also still leaves room for if there is an episode, you know, that you know, hits me even more in terms of enjoyment than this one did, it gives me a little bit of wiggle room that way. But I would probably retroactively change 1 and 2 grades to maybe like a 7.5 if I were to do that, though. So that's kind of what I was thinking. How about you?
Yeah, we need to go back and like regrade, because it's very hard to grade throughout a season like this without having watched the whole season because of things like this, right? Because we saw episode 1 and 2. I gave those two combined a 9, I remember, because I thought that they worked very well together. But now kind of going back and thinking about it, I probably would bump it down to like an 8 or something like that, right? So, and I got a lot of grief on episode 3 when I gave it a 7.5. Our buddy Drafe, you know Drafe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He kept DMing me. I was on his stream. He was just like, why did you give it a 7.5? 7.5 is actually acceptable. And I'm like, Drafe, did you watch the episode? He's like, no, but everyone else said it was bad. I'm like, oh my God, Drafe.
Well, I got grief for giving it a 6 out of 10.
All right, that's what I'm saying. We were idiots. I don't remember all the comments anymore. But either way, but this also was my favorite episode of the season. If I could retroactively go back to episode 1 and 2, I'd give that an 8, and then I would give this, and I am going to give this a 9 because I did, like I said, easily the best episode for me to watch. When I did the rewatch, I actually enjoyed it more. I enjoyed Manny's performance more. A little bit more of the nuance of kind of the fights, and you know, like really, it was just like this was a very brutal episode, very unlike what we've seen in the past with Star Wars live action. So to kind of see it again in that light, it was just it's bold to make that choice, you know. And I think it hit. I think it did its job because this is a darker time, so we're going to have some darker moments. What happens with the last three episodes, we'll see. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I'll give it a 9.
I like it. I like it. Well, we're looking forward to the last 3 episodes of The Acolyte. Next week, you can catch our reaction to episode 6 on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel, as well as our podcast Thursday morning breaking down the episode 6 as well. But before we conclude today, we do want to pose the question once again, what did the Jedi do on Brendok? We'll have some options available on the YouTube community tab to vote on, or over on X, formerly known as Twitter. Feel free to visit us on either of those social platforms and cast your vote with any of the answers available on that. Or there is probably going to be somewhat of an other option on this poll. So if you want to comment on it with your own theories of what the Jedi did on Brendok, feel free to do that as well. And maybe we can share some of those fun theories on next week's episode of the podcast. Episode 87, where, as I just mentioned, we're going to be breaking down and talking all things Acolyte, episode 6. It really is crazy to think that we are 5/8 of the way through this show, and we're less than 3 weeks away from the conclusion. These 8 episode shows honestly just fly by, and it's hard to think that, 4 weeks ago, because we got the first 2 episodes in the same week, we hadn't seen any of this show, so. Yeah, it's flying by. Looking forward to watching next week's episode with you, Joey, here on the Hoth Hangout channel. And yeah, we'll see how it goes. I just want to know what the Jedi did on Brendok. That's really all I want to know at this point. And Manny's motivations, or Kamir, I should say. Yeah. Kamir's motivations, as well as what the Jedi did on Brendok, are my 2 biggest things.
Manny's motivations are the curls for the girls and those arms.
Yeah,
that's all.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, hashtag Manny's arms over on Twitter or something like that. But thank you to those of you who are subscribed to the Hoth Hangout channel on YouTube for the video version of every podcast, as well as our reactions to all the latest Star Wars shows available there as well. Shout out to the 430 of you, new milestone we hit today, by the way, who are subscribed on YouTube. We are only 70 subscribers away from the big 500. Milestone mark. So if you're not yet subscribed over on YouTube, definitely go on over there and hit that subscribe button as we inch closer to the big 500. You can contact us at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise. And we'd love to showcase them on the pod. You can also find the Hoth Hangout podcast wherever you get your pods, including both Spotify and Apple. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a 5-star review, leave a 5-star review on the podcast. We would appreciate it. And it does allow other people who love Star Wars to more easily discover the podcast as well. Hoth Hangout is findable on the socials, whether it be Instagram, TikTok, or X. We are at Hoth Hangout on each of those. Check us out on any of those social platforms, as well as the Hoth Hangout community Discord server, for which the link to find that is available in the show notes of today's episode. Both on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcast, you can find that down in today's show notes, the Hoth Hangout community Discord server. Joey, any last thoughts on Acolyte episode 5 or what you're looking forward to in episode 6?
It's been a ride so far. We're only, you know, we're not quite through the end of this ride, but it's I'm ready to hold on and kind of see what happens here. Hope you all do as well. Like we said before, let's just be respectable to each other's opinions. This is, after all, just supposed to be a fun space in Star Wars. So let's have some fun.
All right, I like it. Let's have some fun. Looking forward to having some fun here with you and Gibbo next week as we get into some episode 6 talk. Lastly, shout out to Gibbo. Thank you to Gibbo for producing today's show, video, and assets. Who would never be carried off by Umbra Moths? Stronger than Khmer, obviously, in that regard. So shout out Gibbo. also, shout out George Lucas. Shout out to Dave Filoni. Shout out to Khmer's Arms, the Umbra Moths, and to Jackie and Yord, and to all of our other ones that we lost.
And shout out to Ben's fiance.
Oh yeah, shout out to my fiance.
Yes, congrats again, yeah. Ben.
Thank you,
the fiance.
Appreciate it.
Is there going to be a podcast episode at the wedding? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, we were going to live pod from the wedding reception.
I'm sure she would love it. Yes, yeah. She would absolutely love it.
Well, that would be quite interesting. We might have to set that up. Who knows? So, TBD, but we'll catch you all in next week's episode. And until then, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. We'll catch you in the next one. And until then, may the Force be with you. Less than 90 minutes, by the way.